Well, you've heard some of the voters have spoken, and they are still counting ballots. But last night, it looked like the pollsters were right. Ed Murray had a commanding lead over incumbent Seattle Mayor Mike McGinn. And it's perfect time for some afternoon after quarterbacking, or at least afternoon after analysis. And joining me in the studio, Publicola News editor Erica C. Barnett and C.R. Douglas, political analyst for Q13 Fox News. Thanks, both of you. Nice to have you in here.
Good afternoon.
The mayor has not officially conceded, although he did allude to it in his speech last night. But Ed Murray got 56% of tallied votes to McGinn's 43%. Can anything that comes in the mail overturn that kind of lead?
No. I mean, this race is over. The command that Murray had in the vote last night was just overwhelming, surprised even him. I mean, he won the framing debate here. He won the debate about painting McGinn as divisive and controversial. I mean, McGinn tried to paint Ed Murray as a tool of the establishment, you know, not progressive enough for Seattle, but it was Murray's narrative that won the day. And McGinn never really had a good counter to that. He never had a great accomplishment that he could show, hey, actually, I'm not divisive and confrontational. I can bring people together and look at this coalition I built. I mean, I think the arena would have been that had the team actually been relocated here. He would have had that to fall back on. But as it stood, all he had was the families and education levy, doubling that. And, you know, not bad, but it doesn't pack the same punch to promote the renewal of a levy as it does creating something out of a whole cloth.
Now, last night, Erica, Ed Murray credited his ground campaign, which was supposed to be McGinn's strength, the social media, getting out the vote. So do you agree with CR that it really was that there was no traction for McGinn?
I agree. I mean, I think it was there was a narrative problem. And I also think that, you know, McGinn really took a lot of credit for having a great ground game. And he did have a great ground game. You know, I was talking to his spokesman, you know, a few minutes before the election deadline, and they were still calling people, collecting ballots, you know, trying to get out every last vote. But the problem for McGinn this year, as opposed to 4 years ago, is that his opponent was not Joe Malahan. His opponent was Ed Murray, and Ed Murray did have a really impressive ground game. And I think McGinn really discounted that and kind of poo-pooed the idea that that his opponent could have, you know, a lot of people on the ground getting out the vote.
Do you two have any sense of how the votes broke down by neighborhood? I know it's too early to analyze in hard data.
We don't have any of that information yet.
I ask it partly because we also saw last night voters in Seattle approving city council elections by district. And I wonder what that will mean in terms of politics as we have come to know them for the last 100-some years at Seattle City Hall.
Well, it's going to be tremendously different. We've got 6 city council members that are in, you know, respectively 3 districts. So we're going to have 2 versus 2 versus 2 potentially in 2 years. And you've also got Richard Conlon, his opponent, Shema Swant, is saying that she's going to run against him. So we're going to have 2 races that are at large. So it's possible that some of those folks could run for the at-large seats, but it's going to completely remake the fabric of the city council. And a lot of folks are going to be either have to move or be out.
Well, I wonder how C.R. Douglas, Ed Murray, proceeds, because he's only known the citywide government as well. And neighborhood issues weren't his biggest strength in this particular campaign.
No, but he got an assist late in the campaign by Peter Steinbrück, who was the neighborhood candidate who came on board and basically endorsed Ed Murray's neighborhood credentials. He said in his first 100 days he will convene a neighborhood summit. So he's going to try and reach out to those neighborhoods. I think this district thing was one of the most surprising results on the ballot. I mean, it wins by 64%. I mean, Seattle has flirted with this idea before about 3 times, always to turn it down the ballot. So I didn't think it was going to make it this time. It's odd because at the same time they're calling the voters for this big restructure, they reelect every single incumbent to the Seattle City Council. So on the one hand, they say, hey, we love the council,
but we want you to run by district.
But by the way, we're going to blow you up on the other part of the ballot where we vote for this. Very schizophrenic result.
Well, you mentioned, Erica, the Conlon-Swant race, and that while it looks like it might be a done deal, she has not conceded. So that was the closest race on the ballot. And she has said she'll run again, possibly against Richard Conlon. They live in the same district.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even if assuming Richard Conlon does end up victorious, which it looks like he will at this point, you know, I think it's a defeat for him to have this socialist alternative party candidate who raised, you know, just over $100,000 to Conlon's. I don't remember exactly how much he raised, but quite a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a tremendous blow. And it's entirely possible that if they run in a district where you really don't necessarily need as much money and you don't need as many votes, certainly that she could win.
And Swant said she was planning to convene her socialist group. I don't know if that's an official group, but it will be an official group. She plans to, I think, go ahead working on the minimum wage. Were the issues what actually raised her vote total, or was it her personality?
She was a very compelling candidate, but I think her result shows, and I don't think she'll win, is that there is a limit to how liberal Seattle is, and socialism is just one step too far. I mean, having said that, she did bring a lot of buzz to this campaign. She was a very good campaigner. She's very sort of charismatic. And even when she talked about things that were probably unrealistic, like rent control, like a millionaire's tax, I mean, part of those you can't even do without state allowing it and all that kind of stuff, she did make a convincing case that, hey, even though I can't necessarily get these things done if elected, I will pull the conversation to the left, and that's valuable. Whether she has a chance under a district system, probably would have a better chance.
I'm talking with C.R. Douglas and Erica C. Barnett about yesterday's elections, and it's always interesting in the new era of all mail-in ballots to talk over something that isn't going to be certified for 3 weeks. So we're making a few assumptions. It's likely that Ed Murray will take over, and he just told Ross Reynolds, who called him the mayor apparent, sort of like the heir apparent, that he was going to revamp planning in the city. It was going to be a coordinated planning. They're redoing the comprehensive plan for the city right now. He wanted more coordination. These are not, you know, big flashy items. And in fact, even when it comes to increasing the minimum wage, which he said he supports, he does not support an initiative. He just said he wants to do it incrementally. So, you know, what can we expect for the next 4 years?
Well, I think, you know, I think if you were Ed Murray, you would say, you know, we want to kind of bring the city back under the control of the grown-ups. And Ed Murray is very much an incrementalist. He passed gay marriage over the course of 18 years through a series of incremental steps at the state level. And I think we'll see a similar thing at the city. I think, though, that one big thing that's going to happen at the city is that a lot of the department heads are going to be gone. I think there's going to be a big overhaul in terms of who is actually running the machinery of the city. And so that's going to make a big difference at a level that people are not necessarily aware of. And it's not sexy, but he is going to definitely overhaul a lot of the machinery of the city.
I have to just follow up on that because Mike McGinn did the same thing. And I'm not sure, is that a good thing to get rid of everybody who already knows their job?
Well, he got rid of some. Listen, it's sort of like a presidential cabinet. You want people who you trust, who you vibe with, and you don't just want to take, you know, the other guys or the former mayor's people. It's interesting that in a race that was all about how divisive and pick a fight like McGinn was, what Ed Murray's going to do the first time he disagrees with the city council? I mean, is this guy actually going to shy away from any fights? Has he boxed himself into being a person that doesn't get in any fights and will only pursue policies where everyone agrees? I mean, how bold is he going to be?
Well, I have to ask about that because he was mushy on the campaign trail. He had a few more specifics as we got closer to November, but really the primary campaign was undistinguished, and really he didn't run out onto the end of a limb. Are we going to see a man who does stand for more proactive things?
I mean, that obviously remains to be seen, but I think the Ed Murray that we've seen in Olympia has been very different than the Ed Murray we saw on the campaign trail. I mean, he was very much you know, I mean, and to his credit, and I think part of what helped him get elected was that he painted himself as the anti-Mike McGinn. And, you know, Mike McGinn, divisive. Ed Murray, you know, collaborative, and which is not, frankly, how I think of him as, you know, as a state senator or as previously as a state representative. So that it really remains to be seen. He has the support of 5 members of the city council, or had the support during his campaign,
and the city attorney.
So he's going into it with a big advantage, but your question is good. Will he be mushy because of that?
And I think one of the first big tests for, is this a collaborator? Can he bring people together? Will be this $15 minimum wage. I mean, it won in SeaTac. The movement is coming to Seattle. Labor wants it here. Ed has said, I can bring the people together and create a solution to that. We'll see.
That's C.R. Douglas, political analyst for Q13 Fox News, Publicola news editor Erica C. Barnett, doing a little Wednesday afternoon quarterbacking. Thanks, both of you, for coming in.